started a couple weeks ago, a very short commandment, you shall not kill, and that was the basic extent of the commandment as far as we hoped it would be. But we soon learned that Jesus takes that commandment a step deeper. So if you take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21 is where we're going to start this morning. Spoke about anger last weekend, or last Sunday morning, and anger is a difficult issue to talk about because it really inflicts all of us. Because all of us from time to time are angry. And we had hoped that we could just be angry and then get over it. We talked about the myths of solving anger last week, and I'm going to take it a little bit deeper this week because we need to understand a step-by-step method on how to deal with the anger that we have within us from time to time as we live this life, because we certainly don't want to violate the heart of the sixth commandment as we thought we kept it. And now we realize with what Jesus says, well, maybe that's not so much the case. So if you have your Bibles to Matthew 5, 21 and 22, Jesus takes the sixth commandment and he digs a lot deeper. We're going to see this in the next commandment as well. But Jesus says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. That's the sixth commandment. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. Perfectly logical and reasonable. But a strong adversative there, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. The same judgment that he just talked about for the murderers. Whoever says to his brother, Racha, which is empty-headed or brain-dead, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, that takes the sixth commandment to a place we don't want it to go. And let's be honest, we don't like it, and we don't want it to go there. But if you are alive and reasonably active in your life, the emotion of anger will come. It just will. For many people, and you know these people, for many people, anger is a daily companion in their life, occupying a large space in their mind and in their heart for decades on end, and it seems like they will never deal with it properly. For other people, anger is a new companion. Not totally welcomed, but this anger companion is alive and well and seeking dominion over our life, that it would have us to the ultimate destruction of our lives. We've already seen, of course, that the sixth commandment prevents or prohibits murder and manslaughter and death by negligence. We've been thinking about a loophole as to how we can get around these words of Jesus, because there's got to be some relief there. Because, as I said, when we look at the Ten Commandments, we thought, at least I can keep one of them. And it's going to be this one. But now Jesus is saying, no, not so much. And if you remember going back to some of the earlier sermons on the Ten Commandments, we talked about the use of the law. The law is not designed to enable us to save us, to be saved by keeping it, because we can't. So the role of the law has a different purpose. The role of the law, of course, is a moral guardrail to keep us on the pathway of life that will lead us to a happier, more joyful life. But it's also a body of law that tells us, I need a Savior really bad because I can't keep the law to be perfect in God's sight. So we recoil at this particular passage of Jesus. And the same thing with the Apostle John's contention. We looked at this last week. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We have a lot of hatred in this world today. We see it every time we watch the news. People absolutely hate one another. And their anger is just bubbling up and boiling over, that it breeds this kind of hatred. Well, John is pretty clear. If you hate someone, you're no different than a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In other words, a Christian cannot be somebody filled with hate. If you hate someone, you really need to figure out if you're genuinely saved or not. it's contrary to the gospel. James says the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And we have to agree with that. But, you know, knowing these things is not good enough. An intellectual assent to the truth does us very little good. We need something more than that. If we want to live as Christians, disciples of Jesus, trying to conform ourselves to His image, we need to take deliberate and persistent action to rid ourselves of unrighteous anger. Because if you manifest unrighteous anger out in the world with other people, your testimony as a Christian has taken a serious hit. And you're undermining your professed faith in Jesus Christ. So if we're struggling with anger, and many people are, it's a natural emotion, it's not evil, okay? We can be angry, and we can have righteous anger. The Scripture tells us, in your anger, do not sin. Okay? Now, how is not part of that passage in Ephesians. Be angry, but do not sin. It doesn't say, be angry, now let me tell you how to not sin in your anger. That would be nice if that was in that verse, but it's not. So I'm going to tell you how to not sin in your anger. And the first thing we have to understand is we need to stop and ask ourselves the right questions. When you're angry, you need to just stop. Whatever it is you're doing, you need to stop and ask yourself a few questions. And most people fail to do this. And they feel something. They quickly react and verbalize whatever it is they're feeling. And let me tell you, that is the wrong foundation to have in your life. That feelings and emotions are higher in priority than anything else. We have this view today that our feelings are sovereign, they are supreme, and they must be obeyed. This is the point where sin occurs, and this is the point where we're going to violate the commandment. If we feel and we lash out at somebody physically or verbally or in some behavior to punish them or manipulate them or destroy them, to destroy that person who has made us bad, we are saying that feelings have priority. They are supreme. I obey them. And that's not the way it ought to be. In the passion of the moment, and in that moment, we're going to sin. We're going to sin high and hard against the God who made us and loves us. Instead, and we don't ever talk about this in our culture today, but instead of instantly jumping to a reaction that's going to lead to sinfulness, we just need to stop and ask ourselves a couple of questions. And one good question is, what am I feeling? We all have emotions. God created us to have emotions. The problem with us is we don't typically identify what the emotions are. We just feel, and then we react or we respond. We need to ask ourselves, what am I feeling? I feel something. That's interesting. Isn't that interesting? I'm feeling something. What is that? What is that feeling? What is happening inside of me right now? That all can take just a few seconds. What is happening inside of me right now? That is part of the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. Notice the Sunday school class up here is talking about self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We're called to be people led by the Spirit of God to be people of self-control. And so I ask myself, what am I feeling right now? What is that thing? Okay, it's anger. I'm angry right now. The first question is, what am I feeling? I've identified it as anger. And now I ask, why am I angry? Once we've identified the fact that I am angry, I have to ask this question, why am I angry? And we know that is the right question to ask, because that is a question that I just read that God asked Cain. God did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You can see it on his face. We saw that last week. And so the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why do you have your mad face on?" Okay. "Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, this is sin crouching at the door, and its desire is to have you, or to rule you, or to dominate you. But," another strong adversative, "you should rule over it." Okay? That's the right question. Why are you angry? Why are you angry? If you stop and just for 10 seconds, ask yourself, why am I angry? Make a list. Because in that moment, if you ask yourself, why am I angry? We'll stomp our feet and say, I just am. Expletive. We'll usually follow. Why am I angry? Make a list. You will find that that's not easy to do. It's a very difficult exercise. I'm angry in this situation. Now why? God says to Cain, why are you angry? Most never ask themselves that question. And therefore, most people sin in their anger. Why am I angry? It's hard to answer that question. But if we sit back and we think about the situation with Cain, we can probably figure out why Cain was angry. Let's think of some reasons. He would say, Lord, I want you to regard me. I want you, God, to regard me because I brought an offering to you. I want you, Lord, to regard my offering. Why are you being so picky? Can't you be satisfied? I'm trying to do good here. I want you to regard my offering. I want to decide for myself what kind of offering to bring you. You don't have any right, God, to tell me what to bring. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to bring you what offering I want to bring you. I want to decide how to bring the offering to you. I'm going to follow your directions. My goodness. I want you to disregard my brother, too. I'm the older brother. He's the younger brother. Why are you capping on me? I want you to come after him, too. I want my brother's offering rejected, too. If you're going to reject his, mine, you better reject his because you're supposed to be fair, right? You're not being fair. It's not fair. I'm mad at you, God, because I disobeyed your command and am now being disciplined. I don't want the discipline. I'm busted, and I don't like it. Number 8, there it is. I don't want this discipline or training. Now, let me ask you a question about that. That only took a few minutes to just kind of step out of that scene, and I sat there. Now, why is Cain angry? He's very angry, right? Probably some, if not all, of these reasons. Now, if the Lord said it this way, Cain, why are you angry? Make a list. Do you think Cain would have come up with any of these? I don't know. I don't know. If I was in trouble, would I come up with any of these? See, it's not as easy as we might have thought. What do you see as the common denominator in all of these answers? I what? I want. I want, I want, I want, I want, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want, I want, I want, I want. Okay? That's the common denominator. See, the Lord wants Cain and he wants us to answer that question from God's perspective and not our own perspective. because from God's perspective, would lead us to the answer. Why are you angry? There's really no reason for me to be angry. Because the reason I'm mad and angry is because I'm not getting what I want. Or something's happening that I don't want. And therefore, I'm going to be angry about this situation. If we come up with answers as to why I'm angry and look at those from God's perspective, we would conclude that selfishness, self-centeredness, and a full of oneself, self-obsessed attitude is the reason we are angry and defensive. If you make your list, you will find it very similar to that list I made up for Cain. In self-focused anger, and what Cain did, even before the second commandment was ever made known, he violated it. Because it was all about him. I want, I want, I want, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. We violate the second commandment because we have come to believe that everything in life should be the way I want it. And there should be nothing in life that is the way I don't want it. And I demand that I get what I want and I don't experience what I don't want. And if those things happen, I'm going to be angry and I'm going to complain. Right? Sunday school guys know about complaining. I learned about complaining this morning. Because we don't get what we want. And we complain. Complain and complain and grumble against one another. We learned in James 5:9. It's sin. We're not getting what we want. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Oh, now Solomon gets right to it, doesn't he? So I got two questions to ask. What am I feeling and why am I angry? The next question, is it right? Is it right to be angry? After we ask ourselves the question, why am I angry? Then we have to follow God's lead and say, is it right to be angry? Is it right to be angry? We have this in Jonah chapter 4. Have it a couple of times, actually. As you know the story, Jonah was a prophet of God, and God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach against them that God's judgment was coming. He rejected that. He ran away and all of that. And he ended up back in Nineveh, preached. The Ninevites repented. God relented from His judgment. He didn't judge them in chapter 4, and Jonah was angry. God shows up and says to him, "Is it right for you to be angry?" How do we know that's the right question I'm asking? Because the Lord asked it. That's right. That's exactly right. Just like in Genesis, why are you angry? That's the right question. How do we know? God asked it. To Jonah, why are you angry? Is it right to be angry? That's the right question because the Lord asks it of him. Is it right? And what this does is this gets to our personal motivation and usually our self-centered perspective. This is our personal motivation. Jonah was angry because in his mind, right, he was made to play the fool. He preached in Nineveh the 40 days predicting the judgment of God. And when the Ninevites repented, God relented from the judgment and it did not come. And Jonah thought he looked foolish in the eyes of men. And the whole painful experience, I mean, why did you make me go through all of this? Okay, I try to run to Tarshish, I get on the boat, a big storm in the sea, and the people on the boat throw me out of the boat because they realize that I'm the cause of the storm and they're all going to die and they don't want to die, so they throw me over. I'm going to die at sea. That's good because then I don't have to go to Tarshish or to Nineveh and preach to those heathen. So it's good. I'm in the midst of the sea. Along comes a fish, gobbles him up and swims him to the beach and vomits him out, the scripture says. And then he cleans himself up, goes into the city, preaches, God is going to judge this place in 40 days. You better repent. And they did. Holy smokes, who would have thought? And he went through all of that for nothing. For nothing. The Jews hated the Ninevites. He was looking forward to the judgment. In fact, he went up on a hillside. He's going to watch. What a great show this is going to be. And God relented because they repented in sackcloth and ashes, and He was angry. God says, is it right? Is it right to be angry? See, now, if Jonah would have looked at his situation from God's perspective, instead of being self-centered and self-obsessed, he would have seen himself not as a fool, right? But an instrument in not only saving the lives of 600,000 people, but bringing about humility and repentance and belief in God to a pagan city. He would have seen and rejoiced in God's mercy and His grace, and he learned that even Gentiles can be saved from God's wrath by repentance and faith. He should have been rejoicing, but he was angry. Yet his self-focused, self-obsessed perspective brought this anger. The answer to God's question, is it right to be angry, is a big and emphatic no. It's not right to be angry because this is really all about me. It's all about me. But it wasn't enough. Jonah didn't get it. And so God had to bring it to him again. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? You might know the plant grew up and gave him shade. It grew up overnight. Jonah had no idea how. And he liked it. Made him comfortable. The very next day, the plant died. The Lord brought it to the end of its life. And Jonah was angry about that. God said to Jonah in verse 9, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Is that the right question? We'll try it again. Mavis is nodding yes. It's the right question. Why is it the right question? Because God asks it. God only asks right questions. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah said, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. So he wanted to die already. The Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in the night and it perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern their right from their left and much livestock? He had pity on the plant and he was angry. It wasn't right for him to be angry because he had nothing to do with the plant. And God said, you should look at my pity that I pity the city and 120,000 children. That's ones who don't know their left from their right. God is saying, there's children in that town. And I had pity on them. So we ask, what am I feeling? Why am I angry? Is it right to be angry? Those are the questions we need to ask ourselves as a Christian. And if you are still angry and you're still having control issues over this, there might be another question to ask yourself. Have I died to self? Have I died to self? When we get angry, we have to stop before we react and ask those questions. What am I feeling? Why am I angry? Is it right to be angry? And most of the time, when we ask, why am I angry, we find that it is totally self-focused, self-obsessed, where we didn't get what we wanted, how we wanted it, or when we wanted it. Or our comfort is threatened in some way. Or we didn't receive our perceived entitlement. Okay? Now, those with the mind of Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, will recognize that it's not right to be angry with those reasons, on those grounds. If it's about me, it's not right to be angry. And when we're still angry, if we are still angry, we have to ask these fundamental questions of our spiritual life. How is Jesus working in me? Have I died to self? Paul has this great passage in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Think about Jesus on the cross. See it in your mind's eye and see Him put in the tomb, buried. That's what Paul is talking about here. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, I am crucified with Him. I have died. It's no longer me anymore who is alive. The life I live by faith. Why? Because Christ lives in me. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. So I am technically no longer living. The life I live through faith in Christ. You see this also in Philippians. See, when a Christian gets a hold of that truth, that namely, as a Christian, I died. And I no longer live to self, rather I live by faith in Christ and understand, Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ. Then those self-obsessed, self-focused perspectives on life's happening that result in anger will begin to diminish away. They will just begin to float away. Unrighteous anger is done away with. It is no longer a struggle. It is no longer a significant issue in my life. Why? Because I see myself as one who lives to Christ. I've died with Him. It's not about me anymore. I've died with Him, so it doesn't matter if I get what I want. I want what Jesus wants. It's not about me. It doesn't matter if I don't get something how I want it. I'm dead. I've died with Him. I want it how Jesus wants it. It doesn't matter if I don't get something that I want. I'm dead. I want Jesus' timing. That is one of the hardest things in the Christian life. We trust Him for the eternal destiny of our soul more than we want to trust Him for day-to-day living. And I've been working on this for many, many years. And I found it to be the most liberating thing and freeing thing. It will set you free to put to death self spiritually. It's all about Jesus now, and I don't... It's not about me. It doesn't matter what I want, how I want, when I want. If I don't want this and I don't want... It doesn't matter. It's not about me. It liberates you because, as I was telling somebody, it's almost impossible to offend you at that point because there's nothing to offend. Wouldn't it be nice to go through life not offended anymore? Not being so ready to be offended and angry with somebody because they did something or said something you didn't like? It's impossible to offend someone who's died with Christ. It's something that we really need to work on. And get that anger taken away. Jesus gives us another hard saying in Luke 9, 23 and 24. And He said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for My sake will save it." To be self-focused and self-absorbed so that we get angry at everything. We have a problem with anger because things happen that we don't want. And things don't happen that we do want. And we get angry and we fight it and fight it and fight it. Jesus says, you know, you need to deny self. Crucify it. Kill it. Bury it. And take up your cross and follow Me. Because if you desire to save your life by being self-focused and self-absorbed, you'll always deal with anger and wrath against other people. And according to Jesus' words, if you're trying to save your life, you will lose it. If you die with Him, if you lose your life, you'll save it. It's very deep and it's very profound. The Apostle Paul, in another place in Romans chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 3, he talks about this in the realm of baptism. And he says it this way, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" And this is a picture, when we're thinking about being crucified with Christ, I can mentally kind of grasp it a little bit. So Paul gives us this picture, an activity that we can do to help us understand it, and something that we can hang on to in the rest of our life. This whole issue of baptism. We are baptized into His death. The Greek word baptizo means to dip under or immerse. In other words, when we go through baptism as a believer, we are saying, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and me, the old man, I'm going to put it away, I'm going to crucify it, and I'm going to go under the water and kill it. It's dead. Not about me anymore. We were buried with him. Therefore, next verse, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we would also have walk in newness of life. So when I'm going through this battle with anger and I'm thinking, okay, I'm asking the questions, what am I feeling? Why am I angry? Is it right to be angry? And I still feel that I'm angry and wrathful. I have to ask myself, have I put self to death? And do I have something in my spiritual walk with Christ that pictures that? I could say, yeah, I went under the water. I put it to death. I have died with him. Okay? I have that picture in my life experience that I went under the water, I put the old Ray to death, and I come up into the newness of life. I don't have to be self-centered and self-absorbed so that I get angry all the time, because I'm dead. I've died with him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I want. Or if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Come up in a new life. I'm living a new life now. Not about me. It's about Jesus. So I'm not going to be angry when I don't get what I want, because that doesn't matter. Why does that matter? It doesn't matter. I'm dead. Jesus is living in me. I'm living his life. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. That's the old self. Again, in this picture of baptism, that the body of sin might be done away with. Okay, I've been washed through the blood of Christ, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. I'm not going to be a slave to anger, because that's a stupid way to live. It's unhelpful. You don't have many friends if you're an angry person. Your family doesn't want to be around you. So I die with him. It's amazing. Very little makes you angry. Very little. Very little. It'd be nice if somebody said about you, well, that person, they never get angry. He doesn't do that. She doesn't get angry. Why not? Well, it's probably because they've died with Christ. It is a liberating situation. For he who has died has been freed from the power of sin. See, when we are crucified with Christ, the power of sin actually has no power at all. Not about me. Now, if, big word there, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. You see, it's the right perspective and understand. So, when we died with him, there is no self-interest, which is the breeding ground for anger and wrath. There's no self-interest. It's Jesus' interest. That's what I'm interested in. What is Jesus interested in? So those unmet interests don't anger me, because they're no longer my interests. I've died with that. We seek to die to that. And I'm only concerned with the interests of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? How do you die to self? Well, pretty easy. Practice. This is an ongoing daily kind of thing. We have to practice, 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 practice. We practice at music. We practice at baking. We practice at sewing. We practice at sports. We practice all of these things in order to get better at it. And you have to practice dying to self. Because like anything, you have to practice daily in a daily routine over and over again, crucifying that self-interest supremacy and burying it with the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is, if you do this, once you bury it, it's going to come out of the grave, just like in the old horror movies where the dead folks are coming out of the grave. Self will come out of the grave. nearly every day. And so every day as you practice killing it and burying it, you got to keep putting more dirt on top of it. Keep putting more dirt on top of it because it will come back and it will take you down in the future. That's just what it does. This is a proactive practice. Just as Jesus said, daily picking up your cross and following Him. Dying to self. So in response to anger, asking these questions, really it's your choice. You choose to do so and anger will be done away with. Hang on to self and unrighteous anger will torment you until your last breath. Beyond that, we have to be very proactive and make the proactive choice to be led by the Spirit of God every day, to yield a yielded life to the Spirit of God, to love one another as Christ commanded us. And we'll look at that aspect of anger and loving one another next Lord's Day. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we come before You this morning. I just thank You and praise You for Your Word as it has instructed us this morning. And Lord, we must confess that really when we have a strong emotions, our culture and our training and our teaching for all of our life is to just go with it. But when it's anger, that is sin, to just go with it. And too bad for anybody around, their problem. Lord, that is a shortcoming of our culture and the way of life. And we see that You dealt with it head on with Cain and with Jonah. We pray as we go forth from here today that when we become angry later today, certainly by tomorrow or Tuesday, that we'll remember to ask ourselves a few questions. What am I feeling? What is that going on in my heart right now? Okay, it's anger. Why am I angry? I've got to make a list. If I make that list, I'm going to see that it's pretty much about my own self-interest not being met. My own entitlement expected not being met. And then the answer to the next question, is it right to be angry? No. It's not right because this is all about me. That's idolatry. So, Lord, we pray that You'd help us with this emotion of anger, that You'd help us to remember to ask ourselves these questions. And if we're still battling, if that emotion is a constant companion every day of our life and we're battling it in one way or another, to ask ourselves, have I died with Christ? Have I really died with Him? Do I have something in my past that I can hang on to that says, yes, I publicly stood before people, proclaimed my faith in Christ, and I died to the old self. And I came up in the newness of life so I can live this life without anger and love toward one another will be the hallmark of a selfless life. So Lord, help us, we pray. We ask that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit that would be completely yielded, that we would see that the ultimate freedom in this life for us as Christians is to die to self. And we're set free from the power of sin so that we could live for You. And we could stop complaining about one another and stop grumbling and disputing and all of these frivolous little things. That we would be sons and daughters of the living God. Children of the King, expanding His kingdom in this place. Thank You for these passages of Your Word. Help us to take them into our heart, that we would live them and we would be changed. For Jesus' sake and the sake of His church, we pray. Amen.